Good morning.
Good morning.
Did everybody get a booklet this morning? Okay, I'd like you to take... Oh, we have some here that didn't get any. And over here. And back here. And over here. Okay, anybody else did not get a booklet? All right, we're covered. I'd like for you to take your booklet and turn it to the side that has Jesus breaking bread. Looks like this. Because the verse on there takes us back to where we started in John 17. I pray for them that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. If you open this up, I want to just explain a few things about this booklet. This was designed with mothers in mind. It was made to fit inside her purse, so that she could carry it with her. But also, we're finding out men like this too. And so I wanted to make this available to all of you. If you open it up, it will have a commemorative date here of 2014 of Mountain View Conference. One of the most precious chapters on the book on prayer is in the book Steps to Christ. And I got permission from the White Estate to include that chapter in this booklet. It's called The Privilege of Prayer. So that's the next section that's in this book. What I like about this is every time you tend to forget what the power and the purpose of prayer is, you can just go to this chapter and refresh your mind. The emphasis in this chapter is my emphasis. It's what spoke to my heart. It's what meant so much to me. So that's why there is emphasis in this chapter. The next section in the book is a very important two-page section, if I remember. You keep turning. It's the Seven Steps to Effective Prayer. This is by Joseph Kidder at Andrews University. He gave me permission to include these seven steps to effective prayer. If you look at it closely, you can see that the first four steps are acts of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So this also is a guide for the mother or the father, or anyone who has a burden in their heart for someone or anything, to just have a guide as to how to go through different steps in prayer. Because in prayer, it's so important that we don't just fall on our knees and ask God for something, but that we praise Him, that we adore Him. Because by starting there, that puts our hearts and our minds in the place that God needs them to be, that we might be receptive to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we pray to God. Because if you look here on point number 6, it's important that we listen. Often in our prayers, it's a one-way conversation. But God wants so much for us to hear Him speak to us. And then the next section takes us also back to where we started with verses from John 17, starting with that verse that meant so much to me, that phrase that meant so much to me, and that is when Jesus said, I pray for them. I just love how that just spoke to my heart, because not only did he bow before his Father just before he was going to be arrested and plead with Him, saying, I pray for them. After hanging on that cross for us, and after the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus still bows before the Father, and He still says, I pray for them. And so when we lift our prayers to the Lord, we lift our prayers to the Father, we do know that Jesus is interceding for us. And if you turn the book over, where Jesus is laying hands and praying for the children, and you open that up, there's a prayer in the very beginning of this. This is from number 624:26. This verse is adapted from number 624:26. It is a verse that the priests used to pray over the children. And so you can take this verse and you can pray this for your children. May God bless my child and guard my child. May God show favor and be gracious to my child. May God show kindness and grant my child peace. So this is just a nice place for a parent to be able to have a simple prayer from Scripture that they can lift up on behalf of their children. And we know that God has promised that His words will not return to Him void. So there's nothing more powerful than praying God's Word back to Him. We're told that Scripture, the Word of God, is like a two-edged sword. And I think that one of those blades of that sword strikes when God spoke it. And the other blade of that sword strikes when we pray it. And so the enemy cannot stand. He cannot withstand the Word of God as it was spoken or as it is prayed on behalf of those that we love. And the next section is really powerful. It's excerpts from Ellen White's writings on blessing the children. If you turn to the first page on that section and look at the highlighted section, it says that the Savior understood the care and burden of mothers who were seeking to train their children according to the Word of God. He had heard their prayers. He Himself had drawn them into His presence. Suffer the little children, going down into the highlighted area, to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He took the children in His arms. He laid His hands upon them and gave them the blessings for which they came. If you continue turning to the section where it says, a mother's prayer. And this is what was important to me and in my life. And this is what we're going to talk about today. It says, it is impossible to estimate the power of a praying mother's influence. The influence of those prayers is to those children as a wellspring of life. These prayers offered in faith are the support and strength of the Christian mother. And then this next part is so powerful. The power of a mother's prayer cannot be too highly estimated. Praise God for the power that He gives our prayers. Let's all stand and have opening prayer. Thank you. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. May that Spirit be with us today. Speak to us and guide us in a path that will draw us ever closer to thee is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a friend of mine who was raised Christian, that something very terrible happened to him. And as a result, he not only left the faith, but the very name of Jesus, the very mention of Christianity would induce, the best way I can describe it, the most vulgar string of words out of his mouth. And it used to, even though at this time, now you know, according to what you've heard so far, there was a time that I left the church. This was during that time. But even though I wasn't active in the church, I still believed in the Lord. I still believed in Jesus. And to hear such hateful, painful words coming out of his mouth would just break my heart. And I would ask him if he just wouldn't do that. And I had a valid reason to expect him not to, because he was a Buddhist. And as a Buddhist, I always respected his right to worship and believe as he wanted. I never pressured him. I never condemned him. I respected his belief, but at the same time, even though I was not in the church, I always prayed for him. This was the time when I worked for Disney and I had everything going for me, I thought. Until one day, I was on a platform at work, and it shifted, and when it did, my feet, my whole body lost the center of gravity, and I went flying until I hit my shoulder and my neck and my head, somehow, all three, on a steel 4-inch elbow pipe coming out of the wall. And it caused... It knocked me out to begin with, and it caused some pretty serious damage in my neck. I ended up having to have 3 surgeries, and I still have almost constant pain in my right leg and my right arm, and the pain sometimes hinders my ability to do things, but it never is something that I suffer with, because Jesus has taught me how to endure that pain. But after my second surgery, when I was in my, I had already come out of recovery, and I was in my hospital room, I was lying in my bed, I was there by myself, and all of a sudden, I started losing feeling from my neck down. I couldn't feel anything. And I remember just looking down at my feet and wondering what was going on. But then the next thing I knew, I went blind. I couldn't see anything either. And I remember lying there and realizing that I couldn't feel anything in my body. I couldn't feel, there was nothing. I couldn't feel my face, I couldn't feel my body, and my blindness was so intense that it was pitch black. And I couldn't hear. And I was lying there and I was wondering, what in the world is going on? And then I remember the thought that came to my mind is, I'm dying. And as I was laying there and I'm thinking that I'm dying, I remember thinking, wow, leave it to God to make dying such a peaceful transition. And then my next thought was, I'm going to talk to God. And I asked God, having no reason in the world to expect that I had any reason for Him to, I had not done anything to warrant an answer to this prayer. I said, Father, forgive me for my sins. And He said, done. Wow. And then I said, Father, please, Lord, don't let anyone blame You for what is happening to me today. Because I have too often seen people blame God for the pains and the sorrows that the enemy, the death and the suffering, that is the enemy that brings that to us. It is not God. And then I prayed for my friend Ivan. And I said, Lord, don't let Ivan not have the opportunity to see the Jesus that I know. You know, as I was preparing John 17 for Sabbath, the Lord reminded me that Jesus prayed for Himself first, and then Jesus prayed for the leadership, and then Jesus prayed for those who would believe. And He made me realize that that turned out to be my prayer. I prayed for myself. Then what greater leader is there in the universe of the church than God? And then I prayed for those who would believe. I prayed for Ivan. And then I asked God, I said, Father, if there is anyone in this world who needs me, and I'm not aware of it, anyone in my life who needs me and I do not know it, would You please take care of them? At that very moment in my prayer, my friend Ivan came to visit me, and he walked into the room, and having worked in a hospital, said he knew as soon as he saw me that I was dying. And he went to call the doctors and the nurses. And the next thing I remember was there was this just a bright, I remember everything was pitch black, and there was this bright flash, just the brightest light I had ever seen. And I started getting my senses back. I started feeling. I started hearing. And as I opened my eyes, I was beginning to see men as trees. The doctors were around me and the nurses were all around me. And the more I started to acclimate to what was going on around me, I realized they were sticking pins in me. And they were asking me if I could feel them. And I finally could start talking, and I said no, and they were sticking me with pins. And I realized whether I was dying or not is not important. I thought I was, and God was there for me. And I also realized I had just had an encounter with God. And so as they're sticking me with these pins, and I'm realizing God just spoke to me. He just really wanted me to know how much He loved me. That I thought, I'm going to be okay, even though I still can't feel those pins. But if I don't tell them I can feel those pins, they're going to put me back in ICU. And I don't want to go to ICU. So I was watching them, and they'd stick a pin in, and I'd go, ooh, I felt that. And stick another pin, I'd go, ooh, I felt that. And they finally all calmed down and they left the room. And I got my full feeling back. And I came back to complete a cognitive awareness of what was going on. But that wasn't like a day where I said, okay, I'm walking with God. I didn't do that. But I realized God had touched me, and God had reached me in a way that I had not allowed Him to reach me in years. And I knew that I was in a place where I was going to start listening to God. And I prayed to Him. I told Him at that point, I said, my life is no way what you want it to be, but there is no way I can change it. And I said, so Father, I give you permission to change who I am. I give you permission, and I'm not going to try to. I'm not going to try to force it. I'm not going to attempt to be someone I'm not and fail and only be disappointed and give up. You've got to do it. You do it, and I will accept it. But I am not going to try to walk on my own and fall and be discouraged. And that was the promise I made with the Lord. It wasn't long till I realized that my prayer for my fourth prayer for anyone who needed me was being revealed to me. Because within a month, maybe 6 weeks, of having that experience in that hospital, I found out that my mother was in desperate need for me. I was in California. My mother was in Florida. And she was living with my sister. And from all accounts, I thought my mother was being taken care of. But only by what I could call God's intervention, because there's no way I should have figured this all out myself, that I was beginning to realize that something was severely wrong in my mother's life. And I even got a call from Adult Protective Services in Florida saying, if you do not get your mother out of that house, we will. And I was already working toward getting her out in California when I went to get on the plane. I waited. It was before 9/11, so I could wait for the arrivals. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And my sister got off the plane, and all she wanted to know was, where's the smoking area? And she just went off. And I'm standing there wondering what's going on with my mother. And I'm waiting, and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I'm just going to go on the plane. So I went on the plane, and there was my mother sitting there by herself, surrounded by a concerned crew. And she looked like someone from those pictures of Auschwitz. She was skin and bones. And her hair, that she always took such good care of, was just cut like a bowl around her head. And I brought my mother home, and she was on hospice care. And I was taking care of her, and I was nursing her back to health, and she was in her wheelchair, and she was getting so proud because she could lift herself up and almost get out of the wheelchair. And it got to the point that my mother was going to be taken off of hospice because she didn't qualify anymore, and they were preparing me to start taking care of her. But in that point of time, my mother was asking me questions. And it was about my walk with Jesus. And I could tell that the burden in my mother's heart was that she knew her time was limited. And she did not want to leave not knowing that her son was going to be in God's kingdom with her. And she would ask me these questions, and I would answer. She would ask me about God's nature and different things, and I would answer the questions, but I could always tell I was not giving her the answer that she was looking for, because she really wasn't asking me questions about God. She was asking me questions about me. And I couldn't give her at that time the answer that she wanted. right after she qualified to get off of hospice, she had a series of strokes. And it wasn't long after that that I was told to notify the family, to let them know that if they wanted to see her, they needed to come out. And it was on that day that I got up in the morning and I realized that my whole family was all flying out from Indiana, from Florida, from all different points of the United States at the same time to come out and see my mother. And I got up that morning only to find out that they were all grounded because it was 9/11. And I didn't know at that time if any of them were on those planes. And it was in late October of that year that my mother went to sleep in Jesus. I had the privilege of having her eulogy, to do her eulogy. I wrote her obituary. Her name was Rose. Her favorite flower, the rose. Her favorite color, pink. Her favorite song, Silent Night. Sleep in heavenly peace, Mama. Sleep in heavenly peace. I, at that time, was completely as disabled as I could possibly be. Yet I fought through all of that to lift my mother up, to take care of her before she died. I was physically beaten. I was mentally beaten at what I saw my mother had gone through. And not being with Jesus, of course, I was spiritually beaten. And I could not, every year, they would do on the news, count down to 9/11, and I would just want to pull my hair out. Because they were counting down to the worst time of my life. From 9/11 through Christmas, I couldn't stand to hear Silent Night. To January 3rd, my mother's birthday, every year I was in death. I can't describe the state of depression that I would go into every year. And this one year, it was everything on my disability, my pain and the problems I was facing was so great that as I was going through this period of sorrow that was just like a death march for me year after year, I just couldn't take it anymore. My mother's birthday was tomorrow. It was January 2nd, and I had almost completed that whole period of time, but just before the end of it, I broke, and I fell on my knees, and I said, Father, please help. Give me just one day. And I realized that it was Friday and that my mother's birthday fell on the Sabbath. And the church was one place that my mother and I were always happy. So I had to go online. I did not even know where there was a Seventh-day Adventist church. And I Googled. And I found the closest Seventh-day Adventist church. And I called them. And I said, what time are your services? And they told me, and they asked me, will you be here for Sabbath school? And I said, I don't know. What's the subject? And the lady said, Christ's healing touch. And I said, I'll be there. I went into church for that Sabbath morning. I went in for that Sabbath lesson, and they were studying from the book of John, and I was hearing how Jesus laid his hands on people and healed them, and I was so drawn into that lesson that I couldn't leave. And I came back every Sabbath to hear the message of Jesus' healing touch, and I went through the whole quarter. And I had asked God for one day. He gave me the whole quarter. But that last Sabbath of that quarter, they handed out the new quarterlies. And it was on the book of Isaiah. And I looked at that cover and I said, oh Lord, I cannot handle my sins as scarlet red. And I sat back in the back row, the back pew, because of the pain I would be in, and I always wanted to be able to leave if I had to. And as I was listening to the end of the message, the pastor had not quite finished the message, but I had a migraine headache, my neck was hurting, my shoulder was hurting, my heart was hurting, and I got up and I was walking out. And as I was walking out, I'm praying to God. I said, Father, I asked for one day, and you gave me 3 months. Thank you. That's more than I could have expected. But my heart was broken because I knew I was never coming back again. And as I was walking through the foyer and I was headed towards the door, almost ready to open the door, there was a lady standing in the foyer, and she asked me, she stopped me, she said, excuse me, are you leaving now? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, wait a minute. I have something for you. And I stopped, and she walked over to this table. She said, for some reason, I do not know why, but for some reason, it just seems like that God wanted me to give you this. And she told me, I've been standing out here waiting in case you left early. And she reached over and pulled out of this vase a long stem rose, my mother's favorite flower. Pink, my mother's favorite color. And she handed me that rose, and I took that in my hand, and as I walked out that door, I turned and I held that rose and I looked at her. And I said, you have no idea what this means to me. I never left church. I have been there. I have been here ever since. So I asked the pastor if he would baptize me. And having been a sailor, I wanted to be baptized in the ocean. And so we all went out to the ocean that Sabbath day. And I had been praying. I'm like, Lord, for my rebirth into the family of God, would you please give me dolphins? Yeah, isn't that great? And then I looked in the church bulletin one Sabbath and I saw we were in the red, really in the red. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, dear Father, forgive me for being so selfish. But rather than give me dolphins, would you take our church into the black? And I changed my prayer. That Sabbath, I was baptized in the Lord, in the ocean. And that evening we were having sundown worship. The pastor had just started Vespers. And I'm sitting there listening to the pastor. And I hear a young boy's voice cry out, dolphins! And I turn and look and see two dolphins momentarily suspended in space in a familiar shape. And then they dropped down into the ocean. And I jumped up and ran out to the shoreline, and I was watching. There were seven dolphins frolicking and playing exactly where I had been baptized hours earlier. And this lady from the church, her name is Irma Lee, she walked up as I was standing there, and she stood right next to me. And she said, "Did you see those two dolphins in the shape of a heart?" I said, "Yes, I did." And she said, "Those were for you." And I knew in my heart that they were. I went back to church and I looked in the bulletin a few weeks later, and we were in the black. God answered both of my prayers. I would like all of you to take out your cards. The ones that you drew today. If you are new here today, take the cards that you have filled out. And I would like for you, if you would please, to gather in groups of two. And this is what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to say a brief prayer for each name. I would like one of you to say a prayer for the first name, and then the other one to say a prayer for the first name. Do this very quickly. We only have a little bit of time. One or two sentence prayer for each name. If you are uncomfortable with praying, you can say, "May God bless that person and guard that person from this book." You can read that prayer. If you are still uncomfortable with praying out loud, then simply when it's your turn, look at the name and think that name in your heart. God will hear you think that name, and just acknowledge to the other person when it's their time and they can pray their name. Does everyone understand that? Okay, let's all gather together in groups of two. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for the prayers this morning. They sound like music. And I pray, dear God, that they have brought harmony and chorus in the very courtroom of heaven. We thank you, Father, that for each name that has been lifted up, you have already begun to answer. We would ask, dear Lord, that you would just give us that faith to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to present our request to you, Father, and to trust you when you tell us that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that peace would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, we're like little children. We can't wait to see the answers to these prayers. So we know, Lord, that sometimes it takes a little longer. You have the wisdom that we don't. So just give us the evidences of your hand in the lives of our loved ones is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. When I prepared this book, I was asked to write a testimony and put it in the book. And as I was praying to God and asking the Lord what that testimony should be, what spoke to my heart was that the very prayer that I was speaking to Him should be the testimony that I wrote. So I took the prayer, I wrote down the words of what I had been praying to God, And I put them in this book. It's called A Son's Prayer. It's my testimony. And so I would like for you to take the names that you just prayed for and the names that are on your white cards and just hold them. And let me, as I read this testimony, as I read this prayer, be the prayer for them, for you, as I share this with you. Dear Father, I do not know what to pray for as I ought, but I am thankful for the promise of your Holy Spirit to search my heart and to intercede with sighs my words cannot express. I praise you, Father, that the God who created the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all that is in them is the God who with His own hands shaped and formed us in His image. The God who with His own mouth breathed into us the breath of life, His life. The God who, by His own choice, was lifted between heaven and earth and gave His life for us. I praise you that you hear our every heart cry. I remember, Father, when I turned my back on you. I remember, Father, when the weight of the world was so heavy and my sins so dark that I saw no place left in my heart for you. My only prayer to you then was, please, Lord, when judgment comes, make mine swift. I thought it was too late for me. I thought I had drifted too far away from you. But I didn't know, dear Father, the power of a mother's prayer. Father, I gave my mother every reason to be discouraged and brokenhearted, but it wasn't what she saw in me that determined her faith. It was what she knew about you that strengthened her. My mother never lived to see the answer to her prayers for me. But there was a faith, a confidence, and gentleness in her eyes every time she whispered the name Jesus. Her life, her patience, her love, and her faithfulness gave me testimony to a wayward son of your nature, and her living testimony and unceasing prayers for me are the reasons that I have returned to your open and waiting arms. Her faith and prayers then are the reason for my faith and prayers now. And Lord, I know that the God who answered my mother's prayers is the same God who answers the prayers of all mothers. So Father, this is my heart cry. I pray that each mother, each father, each brother and sister, each pastor, and each and everyone here today would be blessed with the fullness of all that you desire for them. I pray that your Spirit would breathe on us the peace that transcends all understanding and guard our hearts and minds in Christ. And I pray this moment be imprinted on our hearts as a reminder of your promise and your love and your sacrifice, not only for us, but your promise and your love and your sacrifice for all the ones we love. And Father, increase our faith so that we may receive your blessings for them with the confidence in you that promises the peace that transcends all understanding. Father, search our hearts and intercede for us by your Spirit. Make our hearts beat as yours. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we're going to have our closing prayer a little bit different. There will be no vocals to the track that we play today. It's just going to be the background music and the words on the screen. So rather than sing it, I want you to silently pray it. If you need Jesus in your hearts, I want you to pray those words as you see them on the screen, with the faith and the confidence that God has already answered that prayer. But if your heart is for someone else, I want you to pray it this way. It says on the screen, I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. But I want you, when you see that on the screen and you hear the background music and you see those images that are showing the power and the love of Jesus, I want you to pray, they then shall live as ones who've been forgiven. They'll walk with joy to know their debts are paid. I know their name is clear before my Father. They are His child, and I am not afraid. We are told when we pray, we are to pray with the confidence and faith that our prayer has already been answered. So pray this prayer for your loved ones as we close today's meeting. Oh. Could we stop this? I don't know what's wrong, but can you put the other one in? We're going to have the vocals. We'll have the vocals in after all. No, there we go. But you know what to do. Thank you.